96% of B2B buyers want content with more input from industry thought leaders. Launch a podcast and invite influencers on your show to position your brand as an industry leader. Learn more at salesculture.work.
Like, when you look at those Spotify deals, you have no clue. They say they give you 75% of the stream, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't tell you how many streams you're really getting. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it sounds great up front. Like, oh, yeah, you're getting 75%. You never get that anywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but then there's no other backdoor insight onto how they're calculating the streams or calculating what how they actually get into that split, basically, you know?
That's how it's happening with streaming services for even for on-camera actors.
Really?
Is, well, for the longest time, in order to pay residuals, if you were, say, you know, let's just say you were on Modern Family.
Yeah.
And you get paid every time they air the episode you were on.
Yep.
That's how they measure your payment. But according to, like, Amazon Prime, Netflix, they can't necessarily say how many times, oh, we don't know how many times your episode has been aired. We can't tell you how many times, so we can't really pay you residuals, so it's a flat rate. And so somebody who's, like, on Orange is the New Black as a regular cast member, first couple of seasons, wasn't making all that great of money. And there's articles about it all over the place, but I mean, knowing what I know about how digital marketing works, it's like, of course they know how many times that episode has been tracked.
No
know how
way.
Many times that,
yeah.
When, where, who was watching it, how many times they watched it. So hopefully the creatives can
push back.
Yeah, push back, unionize in some capacity, mm-hmm. and hold the larger pocket strings holder.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Joe Lemon, and thank you so much for dropping past the Sales Culture Podcast. I'm the founder of Sales Culture, a podcasting agency that really helps people attract talent. And I had a great time to really sit down with John Steins. Now, he's a voiceover artist, he's a comedian, but full-time out here in LA, he does digital marketing and sales. So we get into all of that. We get into how you can mix in a little bit of entertainment so you can kind of build your business. We talk a lot about just the back ends of, like, digital marketing. So I think you guys will get a ton out of this, but most importantly, he's fun, man. He's a fun guy to talk to. And so we're going to pick up right where we left off. We're going to get back into that big data conversation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. Please rate it, share it, and let me know if you guys have any questions. You can always reach me at Joe Alex Lemon. With that said, let's dive into it.
But man, you know, it's funny when people say that they don't know how things are being calculated. I'm like, how do you not know?
Yeah.
Like, I got a garbage website, and I know every damn person that comes on my website.
Exactly.
You know, like, there's no way.
Like, if
Netflix doesn't know.
If Netflix is sending me a list of all the programs I would like to watch, they obviously know how many times I've watched Frasier. They're going to recommend other sitcoms from the 90s.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yep.
Because they know how many times I've watched it. They know how many times I've repeated it. So, yeah, they're keeping track, but...
But not sharing the information.
Yeah.
And so you think the only way to get around that is through, like, a union? Or is there any other ideas to kind of push back on that?
I mean, the problem without... Unless you have a union, it's very easy for them to find somebody else to do the work. Because again, you know, some
supplies there. Yeah.
You won't settle for the $700 we're going to pay you to do this job.
Yeah.
Will you do it for $600? Great. You're more passionate about this than this guy is.
Is that what they try to hold in people's head?
Yeah. I mean, back when, because I've done all sorts of stuff. I've done commercial voiceover. I've been in sales for years. And there is always that, it's like, are you passionate about this? Yes. Okay, well, will you do this job for way under your rate? No. I still want to have a career. Like, I want to make money off of this. Okay, but you just said you're passionate about it. Like, this is something you care about. Do it for free.
That's their leverage play?
It is. It's crazy.
Man,
yeah,
that's
and I've,
sick, man.
I've lost clients, not from my, own profession, but I've lost, like, commercial clients who was like, oh, it's so much easier just to, for them to walk and find somebody who's still brand new, still finding their way, and give them a resume builder.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So,
let's dive into your sales career.
Yeah.
A little bit. Let's dive into marketing. I mean, so I would imagine as a comic or someone that loves comedy, and entertainer, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sales should be in such an easy, natural fit for you. Has that been the case, or am I off?
Yes and no.
Okay.
One, because the sales that I'm used to doing is over the phone.
Okay.
So there's things like tone and making joke, like it just doesn't convey like one-on-one.
It doesn't hit as hard
And, and especially in an era where everybody's getting scam calls every other second. It's like, I need to sound professional enough that they know I'm calling on a, for a reason, but I can't sound so unprofessional that, or so professional that they think you're getting called by a robot. Like, it's very easy. Because
I've got robots out there too, man.
Oh yeah.
I heard a
Hey, is this Carol?
Yeah.
Hey Carol, this is Chad. Did you know your car's warranty is about to expire? And I struggle with that because I speak with a certain amount of diction. And so it's like, hi, this is John Steins calling from R2 Integrated. I just wanted to check in. Click. Well, yeah, you thought I was a robot. So sorry.
Robots are getting great.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me being someone who's studied comedy and satire and all that is I have a lot of trouble buying into any product I'm selling. Like,
do you?
Yeah. Not necessarily from I don't believe it works or like the agency I work for right now, I love what we do. Like we do really good work, but I've never been one to fully drink the Kool-Aid. Like I used to work for a for-profit university and my job was to call prospective students and sell them on the concept of going to college and sell them on the concept of what our college did. And it was always hard not to get fully on board because I'm sitting here making sales calls going, yeah, but I'm trying to sell this guy in college and my degree is not in this.
Right.
So yeah, the benefits of college are this, this, and this. And I'm sitting going, but I'm not working in the career I want to work in. And there was
Don't you want to be like me?
Come on.
Come on, man.
Look at it.
I'm with you, man.
But yeah, so I went from that to, so I did the table waiting thing like I did the starving artist thing where I was waiting tables and doing shows. And then somebody gave me the option of like, hey, you can still make money during the day. By doing teleservices. So calling up a list of clients or potential clients and going through them what we offer and then getting them to sign up for classes. And it kind of created the perfect world because I was now making a regular salary. I could afford to pay for a lot of the accoutrement that come along with performing. So headshots and website fees and all the stuff you don't think about, but you need to have in order to pursue something outside of your day job.
100%.
Yeah. So I did that for about 5 years. And on my 5-year anniversary, the company shut down their Chicago offices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, the federal government cracked down a bit on for-profit universities. That's why why ITT Tech is gone.
I didn't realize they were gone.
Yeah, they are gone.
They don't remember. They don't run those commercials anymore at midnight.
No, all those commercials, like, what was it? Wakefield University. The guy's like, I see you on your couch. I see you sitting there. I see you not going to school. Why don't you go to school? Get a job. It's like, why is this abrasive man yelling at me? I'm homesick. But yeah, they all got completely gutted because they would go. Their business model was to get people on the phone, get them signed up for classes, have them sign up for as much financial aid as possible, and then not necessarily offer everything that you would get out of a full university. And I'm not talking about the specific school I worked for. Like, it was common that their practices were closer to used car sales than they were college recruitment. Like, I'm not touring a campus with a kid. I'm talking to a 45-year-old guy who barely got his GED and talking to him about college. And yeah, I mean, not going to sell short higher education by any means, but a lot of people weren't given the high school background to compete at a collegiate background.
Yeah, it's true.
So
very true.
So yeah, long story short with that, like the federal government cracked down, our industry basically went to bed like it was done. Yeah. And they shut down the Chicago offices. Friend of mine reached out after
did it for 5 years. Is that
right? Did it for 5 years.
Man, that's you know, so I know a couple artists, right? And they're good friends of mine, but man, they could not keep a job for 5 months. 5 months would be like, whoa, man, you're like, hey, you made it to 6 month mark, you know? Like,
it's Chicago's kind of known for that. Like, this is all out of Chicago, and most Chicago performers are like improvisers, comedians. All their work is at night.
Yeah.
So, and their rehearsals on the weekends. Everybody I know who performed in Chicago has some sort of day job. Like Groupon used to be a huge hub for comedians
really?
In Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So worked for them for 5 years and once that came to a close, a friend of mine reached out and said, hey, I know you're looking for work. The company that I work for is looking for somebody to come on to do a similar job to what you did before. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how so? And she's like, well, they want you to, you know, do outside sales. They want you to knock on doors, make phone calls, get people on the phone.
Hardcore selling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I thought, well, worst case scenario, I give it a shot. I don't like it or it doesn't like me and I walk away.
Yep.
Got on board with the company and, God, they started when I jumped on board with them, they had about 300 employees. And then due to some issues with, their stock, long story short, they acquired a company that was doing stupid shit. And then the company that they acquired, and well, they acquired this company and then they went public and were publicly traded. Wow. And so the Federal Trade Commission came in almost immediately after and went, we're going to put a halt on your stock. So their investors were shaking their heads, wondering what the hell was going on.
Sure.
And so the company, all of a sudden, all their clients were wondering why their chosen digital partner was in the news all of a sudden. And it was just like, I would say it's like rats fleeing a sinking ship, but they were laying off people by the dozen.
Really?
Like twice a day, 24 people would be getting let
conference
go.
Conference room type style? Like, come on in?
Yeah. Well, I was working remote.
Okay.
So
okay.
I woke up every morning wondering when I was going to get that email from HR.
Yeah.
And then what I was not aware of was how many other agencies were out there successfully doing what the company I worked for previously failed at.
Okay.
And so I got a call from a recruiter who said, hey, I heard you work for blank. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I work for them. And he goes, well, we're actually looking for somebody with your background and skills who knows how to do this kind of cold calling stuff.
Yep.
So a couple interviews later, found out that, oh, I could have had an incentive plan. Like, I could have been getting commission.
Yeah,
I could
man.
Have been getting, like...
You just don't know what you don't know sometimes.
Yeah, and they even said... he said, what are you making? I went, this much. He went, and? I went, and what? And he goes, and... do you get like any kind of bonus for appointments? I'm like, yeah, the bonus is I get to keep my job. And he goes, oh, son. And so he brought me on. I've been with my current company, R2 Integrated, it'll be 3 years in October. They're based out of the West Coast. I had kind of like two-sidedly decided, you know what? I've done all I really wanted to do in Chicago. From both a performance as well as a professional level, as well as even like sort of a social level. Chicago's like sort of a...
Does it max out after a while?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a drinking city and it's a young kids crowd too. Like it's,
think so?
It's a lot of bars. And
yeah, it is a lot of bars. It's bars.
Yeah. And it's just, I was just ready for something new.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I get it.
So got this job offer. I knew they were based out of the West Coast. Figured, okay, well, I can still do all the performance stuff, if not more so, in L.A.
100%.
And I work from home, so I packed up the truck and drove everything out here over 3-4 days. And, yeah, it's been great so far. Like, I have no complaints.
Man, that's a super cool story, though, man. Because,
yeah.
You know what's funny, though? I just feel like comics, and that's probably coming from a place of jealousy. but I feel like comics have such an advantage when it comes to sales and just being able to kind of, you know, break down barriers, you know, like you're phenomenal on the mics, man.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, seriously, I get a chance to interview a decent amount of people and you're natural, obviously.
Thank you.
Hop right on. I mean, I can see how you were into entertainment.
So
with that, I feel like it's a natural advantage, man. And I would imagine that, you know, if you were doing more face-to-face sales, you'd probably catch a lot more of that type of...
Oh, yeah, this has been fantastic.
Yeah,
like just coming to this event and really
legit,
just meeting people.
Yeah, yeah,
but like legitimately sitting down with people and just getting to know them on a one-on-one level. Like it's all the cliches about like salespeople pushing their agenda.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's legitimately just sitting down, breaking bread with people, and then finding out later what they need.
I would almost argue with people too, like the people that I think that are big into pushing their agenda mode can only happen on two levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's at the extremes.
Yeah.
You're either extremely bad at it or you're extremely good at it.
Yeah.
You know, there's like the majority, like I'm talking about like the 95 percentile majority. You can't do that, man.
No.
I can't roll up on guys and shake them down for, you know, whatever.
Well, and people immediately, like, even if you build that rapport, and even if you're like, oh, man, your cousin married my stepsister. Oh, my gosh.
We're
even then, soon as you throw out the, like, oh, well, my company can help you with that, immediate pushback. Like,
come
it
on,
doesn't
man.
Matter what. Like, I liken it to when you go to Best Buy.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I know I need a stereo.
Yep.
I don't know anything about stereos. I'm going to go to the stereo aisle, and I'm going to stare blankly at the stereos. And then somebody walks over with a blue shirt and says, hey, can I help you pick something out? No, I'm good. Thank you.
Absolutely not.
And like you just shut down. And you're like, and then you go back and you go, but I still need a stereo.
Yeah.
And so
the first gut response is always no.
Exactly.
I don't care. I mean, you can have a knife in your arm. You're like, hey. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
sales guy rolls up. Hey, I can help you out with that. Oh, no, I'm good. Man.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine, man. I'd rather get an infection.
Yeah, I don't need your bandages. Okay,
yeah.
We're fine internally.
Yeah.
Which we get that a lot. Like I talk to a lot of people who their first response is either. I mean, outside of like what you call, I've heard them called several of the smoke screens. Like I'm about to go into a meeting. Like you picked up a call from an unknown number before you're about to go to a meeting that starts at 3:21. Like. Or
we have a meeting at the 21st minute
like
of every
that's,
hour.
That's my biggest struggle is when someone gives me one of those write-off responses and I just want to be just as quick back to them. Like, oh gosh, what was it like? Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have the time to talk. What do you mean you don't have the time to talk? You picked up the phone. I have friends that call when I don't have the time to talk, and you know what I do? I don't pick up the phone.
We don't pick up.
Yeah.
I'm out.
But you can't give that kind of answer because that's the unprofessionalism you need to ease on back on. But
you know what? I really wish that we could get there, though.
Yeah.
I really hope that we can. I mean, obviously, I don't think it's going to happen in my career time. But I hope that at some point, salespeople will just start calling people out and not aggressively fight, you know, like.
Well, yeah,
you
I mean, know what I mean? You're like you're always out. Just remember, you're always two steps away from somebody telling you to F off and hanging up. Like,
Yeah.
I have that like it's like the Hang On Kitty poster. But it's just remember, you're always 2 seconds away from being hung up on.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But. Like there's always an immediate pushback, and inside sales is especially difficult because it's all over the phone.
Yeah.
You're trying to do your best just to get past the first objections,
mm-hmm.
because the majority of people, it's very similar to what you don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
And with something like services, calling a company and saying, well, what do you guys need? Oh, we don't need anything. We're fine. We have a website. We're good. Okay. Well, is your website fully sophisticated? Are you tracking the personas that are coming? Are you doing account-based marketing?
Yep.
What are you doing in regards to follow-up? Like, are you legitimately... Well, we have a website and it's fine, thanks. And so it's very similar to selling people college. It's, I need to first build value around the very concept that you're missing something before even going in with a solution. I'm not saying find a problem where there isn't one. I'm saying making people aware that there is a gap.
Yeah.
And then talking to them. And it's never from a standpoint of here's a gap, here's the solution. It's here's a gap that you might not be aware of. Let's have a discovery call. Let's do a little bit more troubleshooting. Let's really dig in deep. And it gives you a chance to actually converse about the issues they're having.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes, I think, 12 to 15 points of touch before you even get to that conversation.
I mean, but you know, I love what you're talking about, though,
mm-hmm.
because you're trying to build value around just educating people about what they don't want, like, of their blind spots.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even know that. If you don't mind, could you press into it a little bit deeper? Like, how do you guys do it with R2?
Well, with R2i, our biggest thing is we help find the gaps. So, you know, give you the little pitch. So we're a full digital agency.
Mm-hmm.
What that means by full service digital agency is we do everything from brand strategy to demand creation to digital marketing technology selection, integration, and optimization.
Nice.
So none of these things that I mentioned work in a vacuum. You know, you can have a great brand, but that brand has to go to it has to get transferred out to your people. So now you need to focus on demand creation. Like, what methods are you using to get your name out there? And then from there, it's, okay, what technologies are you using to actually push your information out there? And the gaps that people don't realize, and what we need to help focus people on, is, okay, what extra technologies do you have in place that aren't working right?
Right.
Like, you bought a shiny new website with all the bells and whistles, but are you actually using that bell and that whistle? Like,
yep.
Is it fully optimized? And then from there, it's, okay, you've had the same brand for the last 30 years. Well, in order to stay on top of people's minds, you need to continue to refresh that brand. And the biggest one that I can kind of run into are with manufacturers mm-hmm. and medical organizations, places that never needed to have a digital presence before because,
yep.
you know, they had their dealers, they had their catalogs, and medical organizations, it's, hey,
insurance.
We're a hospital.
Yeah.
You just have to come to us.
Yeah.
But
they'll be sick eventually, I'll wait.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You'll need a doctor. Everybody needs a doctor. If you don't need a doctor at some point in your life, you probably are dead.
Yeah.
And even then, you need a doctor to pronounce it. So, yeah.
So,
medical organizations never thought, okay, we need to track patient loyalty.
Yeah.
We need to...
changed, though, man.
It has.
Man, it's changed.
And it does. It latches onto who are your... who are the insurance companies that you're tied to.
Yep.
A lot of health organizations run into not necessarily patient loyalty, but referrals to outside their system.
100%.
So you go to your doctor at Methodist Healthcare, and they say, oh, well, for this, you need to go to a specialist at St. Jude's Healthcare Center in Milford.
Sure.
And so, well, that's outside of their network, and now that hospital has technically lost that patient, and they've lost the revenue that would have come from that patient.
Right.
With manufacturers, it's, well, we've been running off the same catalog and distributor system. Why would we need to have a website? Customers don't look into us. But now, one of our clients is Pentair.
Okay.
Pentair, they do water supply, pool equipment, things of that nature. So for them, they always went through contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but now, more and more people, because they can, are researching. Not just, I'm going to go to a carpet dealer. No, I'm going to research the brands of carpet. I'm going to find out what materials they use, what's their messaging, what's their brand.
How was the source? Is it
exactly.
ethical? Does it align with my values?
So now all companies that never had to have a brand
yep.
or have emotion behind their brand do. And again, talking to, say, the digital expert or the digital VP of digital at a company is easy.
Yeah.
Because they get it. They
yeah.
were brought onto the company to build that out.
They're in there, yeah.
But then we have to present with them to the, 100-year-old board that is like, but the catalog works.
Yeah.
We've always had the catalog. Why would we need a website?
I don't need those pants.
Yeah,
got a bush,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't need a car. My horse works just fine.
Yeah, tons of horses.
Exactly.
20 of them.
So we do a lot of, it's selling people on the concept of
yeah.
what they need and then showing them how we can provide it.
I mean, man, so you know what, kind of diving into your business a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of cool. It's a space I'm really interested in because I work with a lot of private practice healthcare providers.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are being cut out from the insurances a lot of times. Insurances aren't
yeah.
paying for a lot of services that they used to cover. And they're going towards a cash model. And they're panicking because now they're like every other business that has
mm-hmm.
to figure out how they can provide value and brand so they can extract
and how do you bring patients through the door?
Right. So they're moving towards that play. But I'm curious, do you guys target more like larger organizations? Are you guys in
more mid-market?
Okay,
so,
mid-market, yes.
We do work with some smaller startups and some organizations that have gotten seed funding, so
yep.
they're in a position where they can build a brand. But for the most part, we work with we do work with medical organizations. Atlantic Health System's a big one.
Okay.
We also work with healthcare support agencies like My Eye Doctor.
So all those like lead gen spots and all that.
Yeah, well, places where exactly that, a patient is going to Google
mm-hmm.
Eye Doctor My Area, and My Eye Doctor will do that for them.
Yep.
Or Zocdoc is another good
yep.
one.
Yep.
Like they're not a client of ours, but just as an example.
Yeah. A directory type source where they can kind of go and you guys build the brand for directory and
exactly.
those guys are listed there.
So for us, we can work for the directory to
mm-hmm.
better reach the doctors that they're trying to get on the directory,
yep.
As well as flush out what they're doing to reach the patients to utilize that directory.
Makes sense.
For private practice doctors, I know there are smaller companies and agencies and even one-off developers and brand strategists that will come in and troubleshoot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with changes in how medicine works as far as utilizing insurance and really, I've got great insurance. Well, you can only use these 12 doctors in your area,
yeah.
Writes off those private practice doctors. So
yeah.
That is outside of our, we can't help that. That's a federal government issue.
Yeah, 100%. No, it is, man. You know, it is a complex though, because these guys, they don't have the budgets probably to kind of really work with mm-hmm. you guys, honestly. But it's like still a play where, and you probably see this in other industries, where they're coming into it like, hey, I've ran this business for 5, 7, 8, 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And then the rug's pulled up out of me and I have to build a brand.
Yeah.
Holy crap, now what? you know what I mean?
I've
never allocated money towards marketing like that. I've never
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
and we get a lot of people who are franchisees.
Yeah.
So, and there's not a lot we can do for them because they're a franchisee. So they don't have a marketing budget.
Yeah.
They're waiting for, and they're kind of caught in between. They're caught in between, period. They can either
in purgatory, yeah.
Yeah. Their bigger brand that they're a part of, like let's just to pull a brand out of the hat, let's just say Remax.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm a realtor for Remax,
yep.
trying to build my brand in my area. I don't have a budget.
Yep.
I'm on the Remax website, but that's about it.
Yep.
Okay, well, you don't have the finances to, nor should you really build your own website.
Sure.
But you definitely want to increase the likelihood of people knowing about you in their area. And that's where it becomes tricky. So same with these private practice doctors. It's
yep.
where do you go? How do you get on the right networks? How do you stay private practice? And I mean, that's a great question that I don't have a solution for other than
just to piss you off throughout the day.
Zero, yeah.
Just give you something. I'm just throwing it out there, man. I mean, but all right. So let's talk about the people that you do service.
Yeah.
You're in that mid-market, obviously. What's like a starting entry, even to have a conversation with you, type of budget that you guys would look at?
I mean, it really depends because we're a full service agency.
Mm-hmm.
So we're similar to, say, the Accentures and the Razorfishes and other.
Okay. Yeah, Razorfish.
Like,
yeah.
Like they are, but we're also not siloed. So
yeah.
We do everything from brand strategy to demand campaign creation. So we'll do a one-off demand campaign for a company where it's very small and tailored. It's a niche audience of, oh, we're trying to reach these 2,000 purchasers. Well, we can put together a very specific campaign for that. If it's a company just trying to do a very nimble brand exercise of, hey, we've been around for 20 years, we don't know who we are anymore, or we've been acquired 6 times, and so because of these acquisitions, we need to reestablish who we are in the public eye.
Sure.
You know, that's a simple brand exercise. And generally, that'll run anywhere from $15K to $25K.
Okay. Yeah.
For a smaller demand campaign, I mean, it really depends, but like $10K.
Yeah.
And then for our larger projects like Soup to Nuts, okay, we're going to build out your website. We're going to select the technology that's going into it. That's where you start getting into the higher six-figure range.
Gotcha.
Because it's just more comprehensive.
You know, I mean, I'd imagine there has to be a lot of agencies playing in this space.
Is
it difficult to kind of cut through that noise and like build your own brand?
Yeah, in a way.
R2S brand as well?
It is, and it's easy, and it's easy and it's difficult. on one hand, it's easy because we are a full service agency and we're not as expensive as like the Deloittes and the Accentures that are out there.
Yeah.
But the downside is we also are more expensive than say, the 2 to 5 person development shops. So there's specific technologies that we work with and there's some that we just don't because they're not lucrative. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, from a partner standpoint, from a CMS, just content management system standpoint, we work with Adobe, we work with Drupal via Acquia, as well as Sitecore.
Yeah.
And even though there's WordPress, there's several other CMS options out there, we stick with those main three because that's where our resources are.
Makes more sense for you guys.
Yeah,
right?
And that's. To utilize those resources generally puts a company at the place where they could afford us.
Makes sense. So, I got to ask you, like,
yeah,
because you got a really interesting history with the whole being in entertainment. Are you playing it at all in that space while you're doing RTI? Is it out?
No, I mean, it's not out. It's still something that's proactively gone after.
That's awesome.
I mean, the benefit of working from home is
that's awesome, yeah.
as long as my numbers are where they're at and I'm good at my schedule, I have the autonomy to, leave work early to go do an audition or pause things for a second and go into my studio and record something if it's a voiceover client. So it's definitely still on the plate.
Yeah.
But
it's not dominating plate.
Well, yeah, I think
it's like a side dish.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I think people have this misunderstanding of how Los Angeles works and, everybody's a starving actor in their car just hurting for auditions. So like, no, most people here, they have a day job that pays them well enough to live in a city that's expensive as hell.
Yeah.
And they also have the opportunities to pursue this too.
I'm pretty sure that my mom thought I was living on Skid Row. I'm like, Mom, I'm still working. Like, I didn't.
Oh, man.
Me and my wife just sitting down there on.
I think my mom had a better idea of what LA was. She had a happier concept of Los Angeles until she visited.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was
Most
rough.
Most people do. Most people think that it's like.
Oh, it's like glitz and glamour and it's all like, Rodeo Drive. I'm like, no, we'll.
It's one big Malibu strip.
Yeah,
right?
let's go to Hollywood. I'll show you.
I'll show you the real Hollywood.
We could go on about.
Guys,
the
urinating on the stars,
homeless issues, and I took my mom and sister came out, and I'm like, it's not like the homeless in Chicago where they're just grifters telling you a story to get money out of your wallet. No, they scream at you.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they're clothed.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they really want money.
That's the best of fun. I mean, it is a totally different vibe than the whole East Coast, situation. And I guess the whole nice climate has a way of just bringing everyone out and keeping everybody out. So
yeah,
LA vibe is interesting. Are you gonna make this the home? This gonna be the home base for you?
I mean, I've been here for a little less than 3 years, and I'd like to. Yeah, I mean, I just moved to a nicer apartment,
nice.
Right on the foothills of Runyon Canyon.
Yeah,
yeah. So
I get right there, man. You can see all that traffic every
God.
Day.
The hardest,
like a tourist trap.
I joke about this. The hardest part of my commute, when I have to commute anywhere, is just getting out of swerving around all of the people with six pack abs and their Pomeranians taking selfies while they're about to go hike. But I think I could see a home here. It is very much a city that's easy to come to. It's also a city that's easy to leave.
Yeah.
But. I every now and again play the game of what could I afford if I lived in Ohio?
Oh man. Dude.
It's the most devastating game to play. So I could have a 3-bed, 2-bath house with 2-car garage and a yard.
Just torture yourself and then you have nightmares right before you go to
sleep. Oh, I joke with my mom every now and again. I'm like, wait. You just put your box for mail at the end of your, you're not even close to it. Like somebody just go in and take everything from there. And what's a driveway? Like you have a small street that's just your own. You can park your car there.
Street.
Nobody hassles
street.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a smaller house for your car.
Yeah.
Wow. You must be a billionaire.
Dreams, man.
Yeah.
What's crazy, man? Every once in a while, because for what I do, I can live anywhere on the West Coast and kind of manage my territory. But it's and so I'll play the game of Nevada's next door, 0% sales tax. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's not bad. But it's a desert, and I feel like I'll go out there and just drive and die. You know, there's nothing going on. And then going back to the East Coast race, I mean, it's not even close to what's happening out here on the West, man.
I mean, I have a buddy who's actually in sales too, and he's trying to move to Idaho. He's like, I can do everything what I'm doing now,
I
can do it in Idaho.
Boise's not bad though. Man. Have you been through Boise?
No, I have a friend I'm supposed to go out and visit soon, but I've yet to go to Boise.
It's it's a really clean city.
Okay.
It's really small. I don't think I counted more than 2 or 3 homeless people throughout the whole. I mean, you could conquer that city
just for whatever reason. Imagine you driving around going, one.
Yeah, notepad. Yeah,
you got two.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I think he has a house.
No, he's doing okay. Yeah, he's just a hipster.
Yeah, He's just going for a long walk.
That's how he dresses. He's fine.
Well, dude, John, you know what, man? I want to thank you for coming on to the
podcast. Oh, it's a pleasure.
Man. Please tell everybody how to find you, plug any websites or any URL handles you want to.
Yeah, so we're you can go to, if you're interested in what R2 Integrated does, you can go to r2integrated.com, and I'll give you a whole list of our services. And then as far as my own professional acting crap, you can go to
do that, man. Get out there, man.
John B. Steins, STIENS.com. That's John B. Steins. If you go to johnsteins.com, you'll find a wonderful woodworking shop. So
you don't work wood anymore, huh?
I was a carpenter for a little while. Not anymore.
Yeah. Well, John, man, I really like just how fluid you are on the mics.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, if I could pitch you on starting your own podcast for free, I mean, you should do this off Anchor, if anything.
Oh, thanks.
And I don't know why. You're already doing voiceovers, right?
Yeah.
Dude, come on, man. This right here is made for you, bro.
Oh, thanks.
Well, so honestly, thank you for coming on. Thank you for breaking away at the actual conference. And yeah, man, you guys go check out R2I.
Thanks.
If you need any services, if you're mid market, don't waste this damn time.
No, we like mid market. That's okay. Cool.
So with that says, guys, it's a wrap. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed this conversation. You can get in touch with John and his company in the show notes. I'll have all that listed there. And if you're interested in doing podcasting, check out salesculture.work. That's my own shameless plug at the end. I sat on it, so you guys should thank me for that. But with that said, guys, I'm out, and you guys have an amazing weekend.